بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير حدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر أمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، والحمد لله، we find ourselves in a situation, position where we're able to continue with the texts that we were going through previously with Ibn Jama'ah rahimahullah, in relation to the adab, the mannerisms of the student of knowledge. And we reached a discussion around the mannerisms that the student has in terms of the halakat and the durus, how he carries himself in the halakat and the durus. Just to double check, we covered the first two. Null and third.
Too sure?
No, I believe we covered the first two. غالب الظن. But thus, with that, we reach al-thalith. The third mannerism is أن يصحح ما يقرأ قبل أن حفظ وقبل حفظه تصحيحا متقنا. So the student, he must correct that which he's reading before memorizing it. نعم. And so he should do so with precision. That which he's reading from text that he intends to memorize, he should ensure that he has reached a proficient level of his qira'ah, of his reading, so that when it comes to memorizing it, he's able to memorize it in its correct way. This tashih, as mentioned, imma ala shaykh aw ala ghayrihi min man yu'inuhu thumma yahfaduhu ba'da dhalik hifdan muhkama. And so this tashih, this correction of what he's reading, will occur either by reading upon his shaykh, upon his teacher, so his teacher can correct him, or by reading upon someone that can help, can aid him. So one of his companions or his umala, na'am, one of his contemporaries from the tulab al-ilm. Thereafter, he embarks upon memorizing it. ثُمَّ يُكَرِّرُ عَلَيْهِ بَعْدَ حِفْتِهِ تِكْرَارًا جَيِّدًا. And so, he repeats he has repetition of this reading and memorization after memorization of it. And this is what fortifies someone's relationship with the text. And it's a must, as he goes on to mention, وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُحْدِرَ مَعْهُ الدَّوَاءِ والقلم والسكين للتصحيح ويثبت ما يصحه لغة وإعرابا. And so he carries with him the pen and he carries with him a knife in order to write down and record what he is memorizing. Why a knife? Why a knife?
Knife, I think to say the pen. Yeah?
For the pen?
That's a qalam. Qalam.
نعم
مش فن
هذا هذا السبب واحد to the sharpen the pen also
being sharp and pay attention to that.
لا لا why bring a knife huh
cuts enough box to write on three box
passes
half box no a column. Or the knife, the sakin, is also used to remove the ink. نعم. لتمحو الحبر. To remove the ink as well. So remember, this is speech talking about times before erasers and Tippex and all the things we have now. So they would seek to remove it by way of these things. نعم. So we're not talking about a big kitchen knife. I think small. And it'll be used to remove the ink as well for tashih. And so, why would a person bring a pen then if he's just reading? What's the benefit now?
To highlight, to underline anything that's important, like I need to memorize this part of the text, they can write with a pen.
Possibly, so to highlight some parts that he needs to memorize. What else?
Tashih. So if he's reading the sheikh,
no.
Corrects it. So this one's not correct at this line.
So, for example, he might be reading something and there's an error in the text. So he uses the pen to correct the error in the text so that he's not going to later on memorize that text in an incorrect way. Naam. What else?
Write down extra benefits.
Maybe write down the naam, extra benefits mentioned by the sheikh that he may wish to memorize after as well. Also as well, to highlight maybe parts of the text التي تشكل عليه. So parts of the text which are problematic for him. So for whatever reason he has difficulty in reading a particular word. نعم. Or words that may be has difficulty in understanding the meaning of the words. So he highlights those words so that he brings particular attention to those things. And so hence why نعم he brings to the gathering his pen. And that's something to erase as well. Now, the fourth thing mentioned here, الرابع أن يبكر بسماع الحديث ولا يحمل الاشتغال به وبعلومه والنظر في إسناده والرجال ومعانيه وأحكامه وفوائده ولغته وتواريخه. And so he hastens towards, the fourth affair is that he hastens towards the sima' al-hadith, listening to a hadith. He hastens towards this affair. And he is not lax and negligent in busying himself with the sciences of the hadith. He's not negligent when it comes to the sciences of the hadith. No. So he's not negligent in relation to his studying and busying himself with the sciences of the hadith. Mustalah hadith or ulum hadith. And what is that referring to, ikhwan? What is our benefit of having science of hadith in the first place?
Knowledge of Sunnah.
Knowing the Sunnah. Ultimately, yes, but the science of hadith itself.
Did it say himself?
Naam. Science of hadith. We have the science of hadith to differentiate between that which is sahih min as-saqim. To differentiate between that which is authentic from what is weak. That's why we have the sciences and terminologies that come with it. Thereafter, he mentions as well, so the sciences, as well as looking into, so this is something which is now specific, looking into the isnad. Na'am is looking into the chain of narration. And the rijal. And the men. So the chain of the narration, this is clear. What is a chain of narration?
As you said, it's weak or da'if, the authentic hadith.
But what is the chain itself though? Where does it go from where to where? From the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so, or the qa'il, whoever makes a statement, to?
The sahaba, the author of the book.
No, the musannif. So the author. So for example, if we're talking about the chain of narration in the Bukhari, the chain will go from the Imam Bukhari all the way to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it's from the, if we're talking about ahadith, then the chain is from the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam all the way to the Musannif, the one who records and has compiled these ahadith. Naam. When the one is busy himself with hadith, he will look into the chains and the strength of the chain. Naam, because no doubt the strength of a chain is a condition for a hadith to be sahih. The chain has to be connected all the way from the Prophet ﷺ, all the way up to the Musannif. Now, there cannot be a break. So, and what is it about the Rijal of the Hadith?
The men was reliable.
No.
The memory and so on and so on.
No. The men in the Hadith. So, does this mean that we do not investigate the Nisa? It's the Rijal. Does it mean we don't investigate the women then?
Rijal as in the men and the women? Kind of like in English we say mankind.
Exactly. So what this is known as is taghlib. So it's mentioned the men, because it says ala wajh taghlib, that is the majority. So, and this is something which is known in the Arabic language. If you were referring to three women, what pronoun would you use? Three women. What pronoun?
Hunna.
Hunna. Naam hunna. If you're referring to three women and one man, you say hunna as well?
Hum.
So the presence of the man, ya'ani, becomes, supersedes anything else in relation to the nisa. So when we're talking about the rijal, the men that are mentioned in the hadith, then referring to all, anyone that is in the chain of narration, whether it be rijal or nisa. Naam. And as the Prophet mentions, Allah khair, when we refer to talking about the Rijal, we're talking about the Ahwal of Rijal. So the Ahwal in relation to their Adala. Naam. So their trustworthiness in terms of their deen, their uprightness in relation to their deen. Adala beginning with what, for example? Their trustworthiness beginning with what? The first thing for all else.
The Muslim.
The Islam. Naam. Before all else, their Islam. And then other things in relation to them being upright. Naam, the istiqama in deen. That they're upright in their religion. That they're not liars. Naam, so they're not known as liars or those that are mutahim al-kazib. Naam, those that are suspected to be liars as well. Suspected to be liars, referring to whom? What's the difference between a kazab and mutahim al-kazib, for example?
Kazab is someone who's a liar. Been established as a liar.
Okay.
Accused of lying, it's only been accused, however, there's no proof.
So then, why would you say that the hadith is weak then, for example?
Because
if it's only accusation.
Maybe someone who's reliable
mm-hmm.
accused this person of lying, and this person who accused them is not known to just accuse of thinner.
Okay. But then, we have that, what he's mentioned there, that we heard the statement of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Bayyana ala mudda'i. The burden of proof is upon the claimant. Alayhi Skalari? Sah. So then, what's the difference between the two then?
Is it someone who's known not to verify news?
Not necessarily, no. So the kazzab, the one that is a liar, and istilahan, the terminology, the one that is a liar is the individual that has lied, and it's affirmed that he's lied against the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he's fabricated the hadith. And he's wadda'a. He's the one that's fabricated the hadith. And is an individual that may fall under the threat of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, من كذب علي متعمدا فيتبوأ مقعده للنار. Now, whoever lies upon me intentionally, then let him take his seat within the hellfire. So this is the one that is kadhab. One is muhtaham al-kadhib. He's an individual الذي يكذب في حديث الناس. So he lies in relation to the speech of the people. So he's known to lie about the people. A lie in his speech about the people. And so because it's known that he's a liar as a person in terms of his speech about the people, it is feared that he will lie against Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. Naam. So it's not affirmed that he's lied in relation to the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. However, it's affirmed that he's lied about the people. Hence why we would say that we wouldn't take the narration of such an individual. Naam. Because he's a liar in terms of the general understanding of a liar. So this is an example. So when we look at the Ahwal al-Rijal. Likewise, the person busies himself with the ma'an and the meaning of that hadith. Naam. So he busies himself with the meanings of that hadith. And the ahkam, the rulings, and the fawaid, the benefits. And the lugha and the tawariq. And these are all things that you find. When you look at the books of explanation of hadith, they come in a particular order. They usually find the explanation of a hadith in particular order. So you have the matin of the hadith, first and foremost. Naam, so it will say, حَدَّثْنَا فُلَانَ and فُلَانَ and فُلَانَ and فُلَانَ. Thereafter, you have the mentioning of the tariq usually. Naam, or takhrij rather. So you have the mention of the takhrij of the hadith. So the takhrij is referring to where this hadith can be found. Naam, where do you find, where in other books can this hadith be found? Thereafter, so that's the first thing. After the mention of the hadith itself. And it's isnad. Secondly, you have the mentioning of the tarajum rijal, biographies of the rijal in the chain of narration. But these biographies are not long, elongated biographies. Rather, it will just be an additional amount of speech about the individual. For example, it may mention that he's thiqah, that he's trustworthy. Or it may mention his name in full. For example, you say that you see the same narration that mentions Az-Zuhri. They'll mention Muhammad ibn Shihab. So this is the biography. Thereafter, it will have the Gharib al-Hadith. What's referred to as the Gharib al-Hadith. So the first thing is, as you mentioned, Tariq. Second, Takhrij, sorry. First thing is Takhrij. Second is the men in the chain. The third are the wordings, the Gharib al-Hadith. Because you have specific wordings found in a hadith that need explanation. And you may find further explanation for meanings of words found in a hadith in other hadith or other nusus, other texts. After that, you will find that within the explanation is the ma'na ijmali, the general meaning of the hadith. What's the general meaning of the hadith? And finally, you have the mentioning of the fawaid, how do we benefit from this hadith. So this is the general manner in which a hadith are explained by the a'imma. So that's the fourth affair. A person busies himself with the hadith. Naam, and busies himself with the sahih first and foremost. Naam, as is mentioned by Ibn Mubarak rahimahullah. Naam, يعني عملنا بالصحيح يشغلنا عن الضعيف. Us working and us dealing with the صحيح busies us away from the ضعيف. نعم, because there's so many hadith صحيحة that we need to look into the رجال, look into the أسانيد, look into the meaning of these أحاديث. You become busy from the أحاديث ضعيفة. So the student of knowledge should begin with understanding and reading from the ahadith which are sahiha. The fifth affair is إذا شرح محفوظات مختصرة وضبط ما فيها من الإشكالات والفوائد المهمة انتقل إلى بحث عب المبسوطات مع مطالعة الدائئة وتعليق ما يمر به ويسمع من فوائد نفسية. والمسائل دقيقة والفروع الغريبة وحل المشكلات والفروق بين أحكام ومتشابهات من جميع أنواع العلوم. So after the person, so now the person has got to the talib ilm, he's got to the point where he's memorized some of these texts, and now he's gone for explanation of some of these texts. Thereafter, he busies himself with extracting benefits from them. Now I'm extracting benefits from the text and annotating the text. I'm writing things that may benefit himself and harmonizing between issues that are found in the text. I'm seeking to remove anything which he regards to be problematic within these texts. Thereafter, differentiating between that which are clear cut from the text from those that are mutashabihat, those which are have some form or a need of greater explanation. ولا يستقل بفائدة يسمعها أو يتحاور بقاعدة يضبطها بل يبادر إلى تعليقها وحفظها ولتكن همته في طلب العلم عالية فلا يكتفي بقليل العلم ما إمكان كثيرة بإمكان كثيره ولا يقنع من إرث الأنبياء بيسيره. And so the person should not now just suffice with that which he's gained. If it's a little amount, he's gained. And so he says, Alhamdulillah, I've memorized this and I've memorized that and I'll suffice with this. Why? Because there's much knowledge which is able to be sought and gained. And so with that, he should busy himself with it. Busy himself with gaining that knowledge. And so he should busy himself with the commentary and the notes upon that knowledge, along with the fact that he should busy himself with increasing that knowledge, because this is the irth of the Anbiya. This is the inheritance of the Prophets. The Prophets, alayhim salatu wassalam, have left for us this affair of ilm. And so we shouldn't feel that we should suffice with a small amount of it. I've gained a small amount of it, فَأَكْتَفِي بِذَلِكَ يعني I'll suffice with that. Rather, the individual seeks to continuously gain knowledge. Continuously gain knowledge. And to not rest on his laurels, and not become complacent with ilm. Continuously seek knowledge. Now, likewise, he has mu'alazama. So he attends the halaqah of his sheikh. He attends the gatherings of his sheikh and he has malazama. So malazama referring to the fact that he's always finding himself in the gatherings and the circles of his sheikh. Continuously he finds himself in the gatherings and the circles of his sheikh. And he's always in the majalis, if it's possible for him to find himself in there. For indeed, this will not increase him except in good. This will not increase him except in good. The seventh, as mentioned, إِذَا حَضْرَ مَجْلِسَ الشَّيْخ سَلَّمَ عَلَى حَاجِرِينَ بِصَوْتٍ يُسْمِعُ جَمِيعُهُمْ وَخَصَّ الشَّيْخ بِزِيَادَةِ تَحِيَّةِ وَإِكْرَامِ. And so, when the student enters upon the gathering, he spreads the salam amongst the tulab, making his voice heard. Thereafter as well, specifying, giving the salam to his sheikh, and with an increased amount of respect and nobility towards him. And likewise, this is the case of if he was to leave the gathering. He departs from the gathering, giving a salam, spending the salams amongst the tulab, so that it can be heard. as well as specifying the salah for his sheikh. Naam. So he enters the gathering, gives a salam to the hadirin from the tulab al-ilm, as well as specifying the salam for his sheikh and then departing. And likewise, if he attends, if he comes into the gathering. The eighth, and this is where all of these are a bit iftisar shadeed, the eighth is the last one we'll stop on for today, inshallah. أن يتأدب مع الحاضرين مجلس الشيخ. That he has good mannerisms with those that have, or those that are found within the gatherings of the sheikh. He has good adab with them. And he deals with them with ihtiram. The treatment of them is with respect. He has ihtiram for the majlis. Is ihtiram for the governor itself, and ihtiram for his companions and his contemporaries amongst the tulab al-ilm. And likewise, no doubt, he has ihtiram for those that are elder than him from the tulab al-ilm. And so, it's a must that if someone comes upon the gathering from the tulab al-ilm, that the other tulab, they also greet him and welcome him into the gathering. Because no doubt this is a gathering of khayr. A gathering where they're seeking knowledge of the sharia. Again, as we've mentioned previously, that these things that they're seeking knowledge of, and they're seeking to gather, are affairs that may aid them in righteous actions, which hence will aid them in entering the Jannah. So they're in this gathering where they are gaining something of a commodity. They are gaining something of value which may aid them in entering the Jannah. So it's a gathering which is Mubarak. It's a blessed gathering. And it's a gathering of nobility. Hence why a person must carry himself in a particular way when entering that gathering, and those that are within that gathering should carry themselves in a particular way when people enter upon them and leave the gathering. Dealing with one another with this affair of nobility, due to the fact of the value of that which is found within these gatherings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and we'll conclude with that eighth point here. InshaAllah ta'ala, jazakum khairah, wa barakallahu fikum. وصلى الله وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
ممكن نسأل سؤال عليه؟
تفضل تفضل.
As you mentioned, a couple of things I've been taking notes. Of course, you have the Quran, so the authentic. Of course, the Quran is kind of Allah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my question is, Al-Bukhari, because you know the Sanid and so on, is it all authentic from all? Because they have, I know this. Small volume, it's big volumes. My question is: the big volume and the small volume all the same, all authentic, or there's some weak?
In terms of if you the big, we got the bigger volumes of Bukhari and the smaller ones.
Exactly.
The bigger ones, basically the smaller for the small. If you find Bukhari sometimes in a small one volume, then this is in relation to the Ikhtisar. It's the same book but Mukhtasar.
Mm-hmm.
Reason meaning that either. Some of the hadith that have been repeated, they don't put them in a smaller version. Because sometimes a hadith are repeated, and they're repeated for a different benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So you might find the same hadith, but maybe a different isnad. There might be a slight difference in the isnad. So rather than repeat the whole hadith again, when the version is summarized, mukhtasar, they will just put the one version of the hadith in there. And this is why you find a smaller version. But it's not in relation to some that are taken out in terms of siha.
Okay.
And there may be some speech about some of the hadith, and some people may differ about some of the hadith, but from what is known and what the imam of hadith mentioned is that this is the asah al-kitab by the kitab illah, and the most authentic book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there's no reason for this book to be condensed, except that some of the hadith are taken out due to repetition. No.
So, but it's
authentic.
Authentic, na'am, no, it's still authentic, yeah.
Okay.
No. تفضل تفضل. في الثاني؟
يعني عندي كثير سئلة بس إن شاء الله بعطيك الإخلاص. طيب, you, the, you said the authentic, for example, the رجال, you said you mentioned رجال means women.
Yeah, or anyone that is
women,
anyone,
men,
any narrator.
Men and women.
أيوة, الرواة كلهم.
So my question now, if you, of course, if you have the men and the woman, do you have to have more than one woman or similar to both sides have to have more than one person?
No, because this is, if this is the affair of riwayah. The affair of riwayah is not the same as shahada. So when we're talking about riwayah, someone's, a woman's narrating a narration, then this is not something that she's saying that she witnessed. She's saying that this is the narration. Mm-hmm. Naam. This narration is taken and transmitted as any other.
So it suffices
with
similar
one.
To
naam.
The name.
Naam, naam. Because if someone else says that this was narrated to them, it's accepted that this is narrated. Voila.
And last question. This question has been, I've been curious about this question. As you said, the manner of, because we are studying the manner of seeking knowledge. So the question is, if you are attending a gathering of just friends, they are sitting down
in
the masjid, do you, is it suffice to give salam to all of them, or do you have to shake every single person's hand, or is that a bit out? I don't know, this kind of rule, if you don't mind.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It's something I want to, the same way you have the question, I have the question, because I want to look at the masala myself.
The salam,
the one salam.
But the shaking of the hand, you can give individual without the salam.
No, zakhalakh.
What do you say?
The salam is for all of them.
No? Yes.
You don't have to now say salam to everyone.
No, I mean shaking.
Shaking hand.
Because I'm just curious. Because somebody told me you don't have to shake. Not that you told me you have to shake everyone's
hand. Shake everyone's hand. No.
The question is, salam. I know the salam. The question is, it shaking the hand? Is it for them to? Is that allowed or not? Question.
Yeah.
No, it's there must be some I believe it's Sheikh Albani has some speech about going around and shaking everyone's hand. So it's something that I wanted to look into in more detail.
And
we do it.
But there's nothing to restrict.
No.
And the last one question is, when you are seeking knowledge, because this is a manner of seeking knowledge.
Wow.
What's your advice for the people who are seeking knowledge to arrange the timing of the of seeking knowledge, like the day, the time, whatever, and so on? What's your advice? Like, do you have a specific, like, a range of time? Like, if you attend, like, a sheikh, for example, better attend in the morning, attend at night. What is your, in this kind of manner?
So, in terms of specific times, then it all depends upon the mujtama, it all depends upon the tulab, and what's the maslaha for the tulab. And first of all, it's the maslaha for the teacher as well. Because he's the maslaha of the teacher, the benefit for the teacher, the benefit for the tulab. So, when arranging that, it doesn't make sense. For example, here in the UK, it doesn't make sense that we would arrange a dubs at 10 a.m. in the morning on a weekday and everyone's at work, for example. So we have to look at that which is beneficial for everyone, where we can maximize the benefit for the people, and it's a tulab, and as well as it's not a haraj upon the teacher as well. No, so this is how you look at it. Hence why I find alhamdulillah, majority of our lessons are on the weekend, our teachers are excited. بارك الله فيكم وخير خلاص صلى الله وبارك على نبينا محمد.